All right. Well, good morning. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Who's excited about that? The Bucks playing today in their own stadium, which I'm guessing that's never happened. Am I correct on that? That's never. So that's amazing. I don't really care, but that's amazing for those of you who do care. I'm not a huge sports fan, but it is really cool that that's taking place and we get to experience that. Something that's cool that we got going on tonight is we're actually putting on a Super Bowl party for the Brotherhood's Men Ministry. So if you want to come out and watch with us, we're going to have that. We're going to have food. And we encourage you, if you're coming, bring something else. Bring an appetizer or some kind of food with you. We're going to have games set up. It's going to be a lot of fun of, you know, just being able to watch the game and hang out and kind of connect and be in community. So make sure you're joining us for that. Something else that's really cool, before I get into my message today, next week is Valentine's Day. Next Sunday is Valentine's Day, and it's the best time for Valentine's Day because you can take your wife on a date to church. How cool is that? It's like a win-win. But, you know, we got some cool stuff going on. Every year we give away like a date night gift basket. So we'll have a gift basket that's it has about $125 worth of stuff that you can just enter a raffle to win that. We'll have some refreshments, chocolate-covered strawberries, and some other stuff going on in the cafe. And from what I heard, some people on staff might be doing a newlywed contest, and so that's going to be really fun as well. So make sure you join us next Sunday for that. Today, though, we are kicking off a new series called Foster Your Faith. Foster Your Faith. And we're going to be talking about, man, just the things that God is doing, that God has done, that God wants to do in your life, and how you can get engaged in the opportunities and in the relationships and in the community that God has put before you. Today, as I kick it off, though, I want to kind of look back. Look back on what God did just in the last year for us as a church, and then kind of take a look at what he was setting up. Because, man, God is always working and is always moving so his mission and his kingdom impact can reach people. Yeah, that's right. Reach people in our community. And so we're going to look back at the things that God did last year. It was a crazy year last year with everything going on and a lot of change, a lot of transition. Man, how churches operate and how we go to church changed. And it was crazy. But at the same time, in the midst of all of that, guess what? God was still working and he was moving. And as a matter of fact, God used all of that for his plans and for his glory. And we got to see that right here at Kairos last year. So I just want to share a few cool things that we were able to do, the opportunities that we were given because of the things that happened last year. Last year, we were able to, we have a fund called our Benevolence Fund. This is just, man, helping provide for families in need, whether it be families in our church or families that call with some needs. We were able to, provide $2,500 worth of benevolence to people within our church and within our community. And I'll just tell you that, we are a younger church, and that is the most that we've ever been able to do since we launched, you know, almost 4 years ago. And so that's awesome that we were able to provide that as a church in the midst of a pandemic. Something else that we were able to do, we have some ministry partnerships. And we partner with ministries like One More Child and Echo, who are foster and adoptive ministries. And then we partner with 12 Church, which was a church plant. They launched last year. And then the following week, COVID happened, and so it was a tough year for them. And so we partnered with them, and we also partner with the Mission of Winter Haven, which is a homeless ministry here in our city. And so we were able to give $3,500 worth of money to ministry partnerships because of last year. Again, last year we were able to do this. In years prior, we weren't able to do it. We were able to give One More Child $500, the Mission $750, 12 Church, then we blessed them with $1,700 that helped them come back and relaunch them, and they are growing and they are booming today. And then also Echo Ministries $500. So there's these ministry partnerships. There are these opportunities that we were given, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And we said, you know what? Yes, let's do this. We didn't meet for half the year last year. I mean, we met online and we made things happen, but we couldn't gather. And the need for volunteers, for moment makers to serve was not here. And it wasn't until probably about late July, August, where we actually started offering kids ministry and people serving again. And once we started doing that, we knew we wanted to, man, bring people onto the church. New people started coming, and Man, just in last year, in the 6 months that we were able to meet, we've added 30 new moment makers. And that's what we call our volunteers. Those are our church. We've added 30 new moment makers to our church in the middle of a pandemic. Like that, so it's awesome what God has been able to do. I think about our online. We have an online community of people who watch and worship with us every single week. And that was something that we weren't able to do in the school when we were at the school. And now we have this amazing platform. We were able to get all this equipment for people that can't be with us. They are with us. So welcome to our online community. Hey, guys, I love saying hi to you guys. So that's awesome that we're able to do that. And so we had all these opportunities, man, last year. And it's one of those things. It's very, very easy in the midst of difficult circumstances to miss out on the opportunities that God is putting before you. On the opportunities that God is setting up for you. I mean, this building alone is one of those opportunities that we were able to step into. And it only happened because of COVID, of the pandemic. We were kicked out of the school, not because they wanted us out, but because of everything that was going on. We became homeless, and then through just a random kind of thing that went on, it wasn't random, it was God ordained, but we were able to get into this space for much cheaper. And the building itself has allowed us to do more things and given us more opportunities. But really quick, what I want to talk about the building and getting into the building and what that means for us. Back in I believe it was August, we did a campaign called Risk It for the Biscuit. Who was here for Risk It for the Biscuit? Yeah, and we had a Sunday called Biscuit Sunday. It was really fun. We ate biscuits. It was great. But what we did a building campaign because for us as a younger church. Stepping into this building in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of uncertainty, it was a risk. It was kind of a faith step to say, you know what, God has given us this opportunity, but man, I can give you 10 reasons why we shouldn't. But we came and we did this building campaign, and our goal was 50,000. Oh, I have another one.
Yo.
All right. He yelled at me. I got in trouble. Our goal was $50,000. During the campaign, we pledged $37,000 towards this campaign. I think about three quarters of the way through it, and we've already received $10,000 of our Risk It for the Biscuit campaign. And so, listen to me. I want you to understand. That's awesome. Like, I want y'all to celebrate what we were able to do, that allowed us to get into this space and do the things that we're able to do right here and right now because y'all were willing to risk it for the biscuit. And so I'm excited about that and what that means. So what I want to do, if you joined us in the last maybe week or last 2 months and you don't know about this and you don't really know this story and you'd like to be involved in that, you'd like to give towards our campaign above and beyond the tithe, I put the Risk It for the Biscuit pledge cards on the seats. Man, take a look at that, man. And man, if God places a number on your heart in order to give towards that campaign, man, we'd love for you to do that. You can use that card. You can turn that in the back. Or you can go online and do that as well if you're online watching us, man. And if you maybe made a pledge and through circumstances you weren't able to give or maybe you just forgot about it, man, I'd love for you guys to be able to give towards that so we can meet our goals and so that we can keep doing all that God has called us to do within this building. Now, let me tell you about some of these opportunities that we have been given. Now, the first one I want to talk about is movement, our student ministry. We love our student ministry. We have about 18 to 20 kids in here every single Wednesday. In this building has allowed us to do more things and to have more fun and, man, not have to worry so much about setup. And they come in here and they play Nine Square. Anyone a fan of Nine Square? We have anybody who play? Yeah, it's a fun game. Man, they have fun. They have their own worship. They have their own setup. It's not meeting in a small room at the school anymore. We're able to grow and expand because of that. And then there's the next ministry that we just kicked off, our young adult ministry. I got any young adults in the house? So we kicked that off 2 weeks ago, and last week they met, and they had 11 people at their young adult ministry. And so, like, this is something that, like, we had this opportunity because of the building. Something else that's really cool that's happening, again, because we have a building, because we have a space that we can call our own, is team nights. Anyone been to a team night in the last month? So team nights are amazing. The worship and presentation team met on Friday night, and they had 19 people here. Earlier in the week, our Connect team met, and they had, I believe it was around 10 people. And so, man, we're just able to connect and engage because of these opportunities. And then there's the Brotherhood. We met with the Brotherhood a few weeks ago. We're getting to do another event. And so there's all these opportunities that we have because we were able to get into this space. And God has continued to set up even more. And there's two that I'm really, really excited about, kind of some outside ministries that we get to connect with. And the first one is Echo Ministries. Echo is, it stands for Everyday Christians Helping Orphans. They help provide tangible needs for children in care. A kid comes into care. They can go to Echo, and man, these kids can get clothes and shoes and anything that they need that they may not have. And man, it's just an amazing ministry. And so they have an Auburndale location, but we are partnering with them, and we are going to be offering an Echo Winter Haven right here in our building. And we already have a director. Some of y'all may know her. Steph Glidor, will you come on and make your way up here? And I'm gonna hand this over to her, let her kind of just chat through all the things that are coming for Echo. So here you go.
Awesome, thank you. Well, my name's Steph Glidora. I will be the future director of an Echo shop right here on site at Kairos Church. Like you said, Echo stands for Everyday Christians Helping Orphans. And it was started in 2012 out of a need for a diaper drive they did at some church and on Mother's Day. And it just has grown and expanded from there. People have been donating used things, and they've set up these like boutique shops, not a thrift store, not a stuff laid out on a table. They have three locations right now in Polk, Highlands, and Hardy counties, and there's going to be one right here. So it's really exciting that we as a church get to rally around. Sorry, I'm out of breath. The cool thing about this is that it's for foster families, adoptive families, and relative caregivers, and it's a place for them to come and get what they need without having to pay a cent in a dignified way, in a boutique setting. So we have this space. They already showed the slides, but if you can go back to the slide, we have this space in the back of our building up these random stairs. This was, I think, the old youth ministry room of the previous church that was here. And as you can see, it needs some work. So we are going to transform this area into a beautiful shop where foster families can come. I think twice a month, three times a month, we're going to kind of see what the need is in our area. But this is the Auburndale location of an Echo shop, and it's just a beautiful ministry to help those who do so much for kids in foster care and adoptive kids as well. So we need some help to get that room to look like this. So as a church, we're going to start doing some work days. And with Echo, they have a bunch of people who've been renovating these buildings all over the three counties to make them look beautiful. So there's a whole team of people, but we wanted to extend the offer for you guys to be able to serve this way as well. As well as donations, they have a warehouse, a distribution center in Lakeland. And a few things that you would typically take to Goodwill or Salvation Army. There's a distribution center. Take it there. Get in connection with me or the other people that are a part of Echo, and we can use those things to be able to help the foster families at these shops. So the two needs are donations. Even if you don't have things to donate, you can donate your time. You can donate money towards the supplies we need to renovate this room, the paint, the flooring, the racking of the walls, the front desk, the kids' play area. In that room, it's gonna look transformed. But if you have any desire to help that way, or if you're giving of your time, coming in on our work days, which will be established in the near future, a few weeks from now, the goal is to open in a few months, at least by the summer. So we'll have some work days established where from people from our church and people that have helped in the past with Echo will come, paint, tear up that carpet, get it all looking nice. So if any of that touches your heart, if that is something that you're interested in serving, giving of your time, please put Echo on your Connect card, any of the cards that are in the back seat of the pocket. So write Echo down there. We'll get in contact with you, and you'll be able to give a little bit of what you can to help this ministry serve hundreds and hundreds of people who really, really need it.
All right, so yeah, make sure you write Echo down if you're wanting to help with work days, or if you're wanting to volunteer on a weekly basis. We would love for you to partner with us as we partner with, man, this amazing ministry that's already reaching people in our county and in other counties as well. One of the other cool things about Echo is I personally love this ministry. They have blessed my family and many other foster families in many different ways. But, man, when I heard about it, I was connected to it. I remember meeting with the director of the whole thing, Jen Sturck, and just telling her this crazy idea that I had to open a coffee shop called Echo Coffee Shop, and some of the proceeds would go towards supporting this ministry. And, man, this was about 3 years ago, and, I mean, if you've walked through the front space, you've probably seen that Echo Coffee Shop is coming soon. Like, it is on in the works, and it's going to be exciting. And so, man, we're looking to open that up soon. And again, it's one of those things, like, yes, we get coffee, amen, right? But you know, the proceeds go towards supporting this amazing ministry and all that it is doing, man, right here in our church, but also throughout our community. And so that's just another opportunity that we get to partner with. Another cool thing about this building is, you know, we are big advocates for foster care, for foster families. We just recently started a foster support group within our county, and we had like 30 kids and 20 adults a few weeks ago. We're getting ready to meet again and this Tuesday. But we also know that there's a huge need for foster parents. There's a huge need for respite care and for adoptive stuff. And so we're partnering also with One More Child. I'm going to ask Robert to make his way up here, and he'll talk to you a little bit about what's coming up and offering some foster classes right here if you are interested or anything like that. So I'm gonna hand this microphone over to him. You can step over here, man, if you want. I'll move.
Thank you guys so much for allowing me to come and speak today. I truly want to say first and foremost that this church is a church that leads by example. From the pastor, from the staff, to multiple families in this church that are foster and adopt families. So we thank you guys so much. The need is huge. As the pastor just mentioned, currently in the state of Florida, there's over 22,000 children that are in out-of-home care. That's not all the children that are in foster care, but that's ones that are in out-of-home care, 22,000. In this circuit alone, there's over 1,200 children that are in out-of-home care, meaning they're with a relative, they're with a non-relative, or they're in a group home or in a foster home. So the need is great. And we're so excited about this partnership because starting on February the 16th, it's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays for 3 weeks, from 6 to 8 p.m., we're going to be able to offer classes here in person and online. So if you're comfortable coming in person, it's going to be in person. If you're comfortable saying, no, I'd rather do it online, it's going to be online. It's going to be amazing. And I can tell you guys for a fact that this in-person training, the option to have in-person training, is going to be the first option in this entire circuit in the last 10 months to come in person and be trained to be a foster parent. So it's truly an amazing thing that you guys are doing. If you've been struggling with should I foster, I've been thinking about it, something I've been praying about, I just want to share a couple of examples of the impact that you can make. Recently in one of our foster homes, we had a sibling group that they accepted Christ and they got baptized. And as they were getting baptized at the church, their biological father, who the foster family had partnered with and really been supporting, came and he was able to witness his children getting baptized. And guys, that's what we're all about. We want to provide foster homes where when the children come in, they hear the gospel, they experience the love of Christ. And you guys are going to think I'm making this up, but I promise you, there's kids right here in this city and all around that they've never heard the gospel. They've never, like, had a family devotion or prayed before they ate dinner or went to church or Sunday school or children's church. It's an amazing opportunity to be a missionary right here in your own community. We recently had a young lady, she was 12 years old. When you leave a foster home, they do a thing that's called an exit interview, and it has a lot of different questions on there. And one of the questions is, what did you like most about the home? And her answer was, I felt loved. So just imagine, guys, it's an amazing, amazing opportunity that we have together to partner with you guys to be able to reach our community and to reach these children and not only provide a safe and a loving home, but a home that's going to lead by example of sharing the love of Christ. So if you guys are interested, you can come out to our table. We can give you some cards. Again, it's going to be in person and online. Hey, maybe one day you want to come in person and the next week you want to stay home, you can do it online. We're super convenient with that. And I just want to beg you guys to please take everything that we have on those tables out there, because I have to take it all back with me, whatever you guys don't take. And we actually have some One More Child face masks. Just imagine, like a year ago, that didn't even exist. So what a crazy cool opportunity. Come grab yourself a One More Child face mask, and thank you guys again so much.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Robert. Man, I love that. I love hearing stories like that. And it is, you can have an impact, and sometimes even as a foster parent, you don't even know that impact until later on. So we encourage you guys, get involved with Echo, get involved, take those foster classes. They're going to be right here. I didn't know that about the 10-month thing. That's amazing. Go us. All right. humble brag. Okay. Man, there's so many opportunities. You know, there's opportunities to foster different things in our lives, to foster ministry, to foster serving, to foster community. We're going to do it right here, but we also are going to get opportunities to foster all of those things out in our community. And so my question for you today, as we talk about fostering our faith, how are you fostering the opportunities that God has provided for you? How are you fostering the things that God has set up? Now, I was thinking about this word, and it's really what led to me wanting to call this foster your faith, because I love this word foster. And I want to give you guys a definition. And it's this: it's to feed, it's to nourish, it's to support, it's to bring up, it's to cherish, it's to promote the growth of, to encourage, to sustain, and promote. And so when I talk about fostering opportunities or fostering your faith, this is what I'm talking about. Really, man, digging into that and promoting growth and encouragement in your own walk and in the lives of others. It's not just about foster care, but it's fostering and it's building and it's nourishing and it's growing your faith. And it's doing that so that you can then foster opportunities of faith in other people's lives. I mean, just like what he talked about, a child coming into a home and getting saved and getting baptized and a biological father getting to experience that. And this, we get to foster each moment when we're really, really stepping into and looking for those opportunities that God has put in front of us. And sometimes the opportunities that God gives us present themselves as difficulties, right? And we don't see it because we get so caught up in how difficult and tough things are. So I wonder what opportunities have been presented to you. Maybe over the last few months or over the last year. What's God placed on your heart? What have you been passionate about but have yet to step into? You know, I was thinking about this just in times when there have been moments where I felt like I should speak up or I should say something, but fear gripped me or the lies. And I went all the way back to school. You remember in school when you're in class and the teacher asked a question and like it's crickets? And you're just like, I don't want to answer this. I know the answer, but I don't want to answer this. And you're like, I hope she picks somebody else. And then she picks you, and you're like, oh, Lord, she did it. And then you're like, It's one of those things, right? Like, we have this opportunity to show everyone how smart we are, but for some reason, we step back. Or maybe it's in the workplace. The boss or a colleague or someone else, they mention a project or something that, man, that really piques your interest. Like, you're like, man, that sounds awesome. I want to be a part of that, but for whatever reason, you made a decision to not step into it. Right out of high school, I got a job working at Applebee's. Anyone ever worked at Applebee's? Oh, you know the pain then. Okay, so I got a job working at Applebee's. I worked back of the house and you know, just doing food prep and working the line. I did all of them. I did fry. I did middle. I did grill. I was crushing it back then. I'm just gonna be real honest. Like, I was crushing it, man. I knew every station. I did food prep. I did it all. You know, it was one of those things, like, I worked there for a little bit, and I guess they saw potential in me, and they're like, hey, do you want to be a manager? And I'm like, heck no, I don't want to be a manager of Applebee's. I mean, for many reasons. Number one, I'm just here to get my money and get paid, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, hard pass. I don't want it. I don't want the commitment. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the extra time. And I'll be real honest, deep inside, there's insecurity that says, this is out of my league. I'm just a, you know, 19-year-old out of high school, and you're asking me to step into a managerial role. And you see, oftentimes, opportunities present themselves, but we're real quick to come up with reasons for not stepping into them. Real quick. I mean, the Applebee's one was a smart choice on my end. Anyway, I'm just going out of there. There are many reasons why we're afraid when an opportunity presents itself. Maybe it's the time requirement. Maybe we know what the time requirement might be, or maybe we don't. Maybe we might miss out on other things, right? These worldly forms of pleasure and entertainment. If I step into that, then maybe I won't be able to go and do this or do that. It might be something that you're asked to be stepped into, or God's calling you to, and it might cause you to get uncomfortable. There may be some unknowns. There might be some uncertainty. Maybe it's one of those things where you may not know anyone, and so that keeps you from doing it. Or you're just like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I have a strong desire, but I don't know what I'm doing. There's this insecurity that comes along with it, and you begin to process the what ifs. What if I screw it up? Someone shared this quote the other day on Facebook, and I modified it, and I say this: when God gives us an opportunity, he's already factored in our stupidity. I love that, right? When God gives you an opportunity, he's already factored it in. He knows you're a mess, but he still calls you to it. And I love that. We ask the what ifs. What if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't go how I planned? When it comes to spiritual things, I've heard so many times, man, people, especially in the church world, they're like, well, will I have to pray out loud? And I'm like, probably. I get it. I'm not trying to make a joke, but we begin to come up with all of these reasons on why we can't. So instead of stepping in, we step back. And it can be hard, right, to step into these, especially given our current circumstances. And maybe, we can just talk about the COVID-19 and how that changes everything. But there are personal circumstances that you're going through as well. There might be some community things that are going on, but it might be hard. And it may be hard, and the reality is when God calls you something, there is never a promise that it will be easy. And that's okay, and I was drawn to this scripture in Acts, and the Apostle Luke says this in Acts 13:22. You ready for this? It is necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. Not it might happen. You might run into this. You might get uncomfortable. You might fail. No, it's necessary. Because the ways of God and the ways of this world will never coincide, right? So when he calls you to something, it will be difficult. So despite the circumstances, despite what you're going through, whether it's personal or community stuff or national, man, despite all of these things, God is still going to provide you with an opportunity to live on mission. And when he does that, don't give him a reason why not. Don't give him your excuses. Step into it. And know this. What we're experiencing, it's been a tough year. We've gone through difficult times. But this isn't new. What we're going through, it's not new. This has been going on since, man, the disciples and the apostles and the early church, they dealt with this. And they dealt with persecution. Real persecution of their faith. Where they're being stoned and martyred and beaten and put in prison. I mean, you go and you read through the book of Acts. When the early church starts, you go and read through some of the letters to the early church. And what do you see? You see persecution. You see setbacks. You see uncertainty. You do see growth and expansion. But I can tell you right now, growth and expansion bring with it difficulty in and of itself. There's new ideas and there's innovation. There were changes in leadership. There were betrayals. There was different, I already talked about people being martyred and beaten and imprisoned. They were going through difficult times. I want to read to you Acts 13, verses 21 all the way through 28. And it says, after they had evangelized that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in their faith. There's that fostering their faith. And by telling them, here's what I just shared with you, it's necessary to pass through many trials on your way to the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. I'm sorry, I'm messing all these words up. I can't say them right. After they spoke to the message to Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. After they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a considerable time with the disciples there. And you see within this, these men and these women, man, just stepping into all of these opportunities to foster their own faith and foster the faith of others, to strengthen, to encourage, and then, man, to share all that God has done. You know what's so crazy about this one right here? If you go a little bit before this, right before all this took place, Paul was in a town. They literally stoned him to the point of death. They dragged him out of the city, and they left him there to be dead. And you know what Paul did? Old boy got up and just went to the next town. He's like, fine, y'all don't want me? I get it. I'll take the hint. You hit me with rocks. I'm going to go over here now. Almost left for dead, and he's like, man, even through persecution, even through difficulties, I'm still going to step into the opportunities that God has called me to, because the mission is great, and the mission field is there's so many there. There's seven areas here that we talked about, all those cities that they went through, all these people, man, learning about for the first time, learning the gospel and what Jesus Christ had done for them, and man, each one of them being able to foster opportunity for others to foster their own faith. And in those towns, there were opportunities for people to become elders and to become teachers and to start prayer ministries and food services and worship. And every location, every body of believers was different. And there were different opportunities, and that is the same today. And when the opportunity presented itself, man, the people offered what they could as God called them to. I mean, that's what Steph's doing for Echo, and we had a need for a director and for the Echo location, and she did it. Megan Mata stepped into the role as young adult coordinator. Hey, Megan, have you ever led a young adult ministry before? No. Hey, Steph, have you ever led Echo Ministries before? No. And there are unknowns, and there is uncertainty, and I'm sure there were what-ifs, and there were things that we were processing, but you said, you know what? God called me to this. I'm going to do it, and because of that, I'm going to be able to foster other people's faith. And we got to step into these things. Another interesting thing about Paul, and if you've read about his life at all, did you know that he did a majority of his ministering in prison, right? In prison. This man, beaten, stoned, martyred, imprisoned, nothing stopped him from the opportunities that God gave him to advance the mission of God. And he kept doing it behind prison cell. And so his position was one of being behind bars. And we get to read about the ministry that he did and how he encouraged and he strengthened and he continued to foster faith. And so I wonder, what can you do from your current position of prospering? Listen to me. I know what we're going through is tough. But from everyone that I'm looking at right here and right now, I can say to you, and you can say to me, I'm not in prison. And so because of that, I am prospering, right? Because of that, God can use me to do amazing things. I've not been beaten. I've not been stoned or left for dead, right? You're prospering. And don't hear me wrong here. I'm not saying you don't have difficulties. I'm not saying you're going through difficult times. It's just that in your difficulties, by God's Spirit, through God's Spirit, you can step into his opportunities. But we gotta begin to look at it from that light. What is he calling me to? I know I can give him all the excuses, but if it's his will, then I'm gonna step into it and believe that he's gonna do amazing things through me. I know oftentimes it's so easy to get caught up in our own lives that we miss out on stepping into these opportunities that God has for us. And listen to me, it's not just opportunities to bless others, man. When God calls you to something, just know that he wants you to bless others, but he's going to bless you in the process. When you're willing to say yes, when you're willing to go, to step out of the unknown, to step into uncertainty. I'm going to pick on Steph and her husband for a little bit. you know, we met them back at our old church. We became, man, just best friends. And when we told them that we were leaving to come plant a church, we didn't even tell them where yet, and they're like, we're going to. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And so they moved out here. They moved their family out into Auburndale, where they knew no one except for us. And you know, the Varneys were here, but I'm just kidding. I love you, buddy. I love you. I'm so sorry. I was going to pick on her, and I had to turn it to you. So we moved out here, and we do this church plant. And Steph, have you ever planted a church before? No, me neither. It was tough. and we moved out here, and we're, you know, we're going through this, and we're figuring these things out, and man, there's just this roller coaster of things going on and difficulties that presented themselves, but we just kept looking at them as opportunities, and Steph and stepped onto staff with us and helped the chaotic mess that is my mind and kind of hone that in, and man, they stayed by our side and remained friends with us, and you know, we're often called the crazy Wernsings, and if you know anything about us, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. We get that. And so they were friends with us, and all of that, there were opportunities that presented themselves, and one of the ones is the partnership that we have with One More Child in foster care and her hearing about things that were going on, and I believe Robbie's wife, Steph, working at a shelter over at One More Child. And so an opportunity presented itself for Steph to go and work at a temporary shelter, emergency shelter, so that when kids come into the care and they don't have anywhere to go, they can stay there. And so Steph worked there for a little bit, and man, she got to connect with some of the kids there. And from that, it led her and her husband to become foster parents and bring these two girls into their home and love on them and share their life with them and do life with them. And it's the same thing I thought he was talking about, your girls getting baptized, but they got baptized right here in our church because of an opportunity that they took. So one opportunity led to another opportunity led to another opportunity, and they became foster parents, and now there's another opportunity that presented itself to Steph, and she stepped into it. And I'm blown away when by people who take these outrageous faith steps, not knowing what it might bring or where it might lead, but believing that if it is God calling me to it, no matter what I've gone through or what I've been through or what it's going to bring me through, God is greater than all of it, and he's going to do his work through me. There are opportunities that we must step into. And listen, all of that I talked about, it was exciting. And it was adventurous. But it also brought difficult times, and it brought hardship, and it brought uncertainty, but God worked through it all. I don't know what fears you have going on in your life with God calling. I don't know what lies you believe, but I do know this, that God wants to foster an opportunity in your life so that you can foster opportunity in others for him, right? To encounter And that's what we're called to, right? To grow in our faith, to foster our faith so that we can help other people encounter God. Acts 13:27 says, after they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. What is it saying? We stepped out. We stepped into this opportunity and we were able to, man, just preach the gospel and have other people encounter God for the first time. So let's bring this to you guys. How can we apply this to your life? I'm going to ask you just a few questions. Is there maybe right now on your heart, is there an area of ministry that you want to serve in at Kairos? Maybe you haven't become a moment maker, or maybe you did, but you haven't chose an area to serve. There are so many areas for you to get plugged in. And if God is calling you to it, if God has said, or you've heard about a need, or if you've seen how something's going on, you're like, I want to be a part of that. But then the what ifs and the lies and the excuses came in saying you can't be good enough. Oh, no, you won't have time for that. Oh, what if you miss out on this, man? Can I just tell you to shut that down and believe that God wants to use you right now to reach, man, our church people right here, right now, in whatever ministry it may be. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's serving with the students. Maybe it's on presentation or worship. Maybe it's just, man, being able to serve in the cafe or to greet or whatever it may be. There's an opportunity, and if God has called you to it, man, step into it. Step into it. And yeah, it might be difficult, it may be uncertain, but I can tell you what, man, you step into what God calls you to, he will bless you because of it. Or maybe it's not that God has called you into something here at Kairos. But I wonder, is there something that God has called you to a ministry that God wants you to start in your community? Maybe it's fostering or partnering with the foster care ministry. Maybe it's supporting foster families. Maybe it's something to do with the homeless. Maybe it's supporting, you know, single parents, single mothers. I don't know. I don't know what God's placed on your heart, but I know if he's done that, if he's placed something on your heart, don't keep pushing it off. I know you're going through tough times. We all are. But it's necessary for us to go through troubles to get to the kingdom of God. It's necessary for us to go through those things in order for people to experience God through us. It's okay. It's okay. Step into that, whatever it may be. Maybe there's a ministry that you want to start right here. You know, you can go and serve it at other ministries that are in our community. You can serve at Echo. You can serve at the mission of Winter Haven. There are many other more that are here. Go and serve. If God has placed something in your heart, go serve there. Or maybe God is calling you to start something right here. Maybe it's a prayer ministry. Maybe it's a food ministry. Maybe it's for you to be a financial blessing to our church or to Echo or one of these other ones. Man, the whole reason we started Echo is to support Echo. Echo Coffee is to support Echo. And let me just tell you, some of you guys have met Jennifer Sterk or have heard from Jennifer Sterk, but this is exactly how Echo Ministry got started. Man, she stepped up to an opportunity to meet a need, a diaper drive. And from there, she got together, I believe it was two other ladies, and they just had this idea, like, man, what if we could do more? What if we could provide clothes for families, and they even provide beds for families? And there was this opportunity that presented itself, and there were so many unknowns. And if you were to ask Jen today, she'd say there are still so many unknowns, but man, God is doing amazing work through the opportunities that he's called us to. It's been difficult, but God has been blessing us here today. So here's what I want to do, man. I want you to think about that. I want to take a moment to pray together as a church that each of us, man, could step into what God is calling us to step into the opportunity that he has for us, that we would be bold, that we would stop giving excuses and reasons why not, and we would just say, you know what, we're going to step into this thing and believe that God is going to do something great. And in that, God will foster our faith. He'll foster our church community. He'll foster, man, a community of faith outside of these walls. And that's what we're looking to do. And we're going to foster our faith in here so that we can go out there and help other people encounter God. Would you guys pray with me? God, right now, man, I just come to you and I pray. I can tell you this, in the midst of everything that's going on, the need for your faithful to step into your work is immense. There is a need for foster parents. There is a need for serving here in our church. There is a need for people to get together and pray for one another, to pray for their church, to pray for their community, to pray for the homeless, to pray for single parents, to pray for all that's going on in this world. There is a need for us to step into the opportunities that you've called us to so that more people can come to know you. But our world is hurting. And I know within each and every one of us, there's something specific that you have called us to. And the longer we put it off, the longer we say no, the less chance we have to impact those people that you are trying to reach. But man, if we'll step into it, we'll step into that opportunity, we'll step in and foster our faith, we'll step in and foster, you know, just community, man, we never know what impact it may have in our lives or in the lives of those we come in contact with. God, today, embolden us and strengthen us by your Spirit. Man, convict us and say, hey, no more excuses. No more stepping back, but God, help us to step into what you're calling us to here today. Maybe today, if you're here in person or watching online, you need to step into the greatest opportunity that God has ever given you. And that's the opportunity to know his Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know what brought you here. I don't know why you're watching, but man, I believe that God has given you an opportunity right here today to surrender your life to him. And I want to help you do that. I mean, the gift of salvation is free, and so, man, just walk through this with me. If you believe that God is Jesus' Father, that he sent him down to this earth, that he lived as a human, that he took our place on the cross, died for our sins, God, man, if you believe that with your heart and confess that with your mouth, man, the Bible tells us that, man, we will be saved. We'll have that relationship with him. So today, just surrender. Take the opportunity to surrender your life, surrender your heart over to him, and begin one of the greatest relationships you will ever have on this earth. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.